Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer on this shortest day of the year. Father, we do thank you for your faithfulness. Long days, short days, and we know the number of days are getting shorter. And soon we will be in your presence, Lord. Father, as we look at another psalm today and the time of the year where we're really focusing a little bit on your first coming, reveal your truth to us, and may we honor you, may we praise you, and may we be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing a Christmas carol appropriate for the psalm, not so appropriate for Christmas, because this is pretty much all about his second coming. But whenever we celebrate Christmas, we need to remember that we wouldn't be able to have his second coming if he wouldn't have come the first time. And it is great to rejoice for what he did at his first coming, and that was to die for our sins that we could live. But I was just thinking how somber and really difficult a life he had here, those 33 years on the earth, you know, being totally rejected, abhorred by everyone, and ridiculed and crucified. That was his purpose for coming. But still, it's a tough life, isn't it? I mean, so we think of joy, joy, joy. Everything's joy, joy, joy. And it is, but there's a somberness to that, too. Because if we really think of what he went through and what he did for us, it far surpasses joy. I mean, it is joyful, but it's even much more than that. So we get a little of that in this psalm this morning. So I want to begin by singing this Handel song, Joy to the World. It is such a popular Christmas carol, and except for a few parts of it, it's all about the second coming. And even today's psalm is, because the psalm begins, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. He's reigning in our heart, but he's certainly not reigning in the world. And he's certainly not going to reign in the world until he returns a second time. So this is all a preemptive strike, so to speak, at his reigning, and yet he is reigning in the lives of every believer, is he not? So let's sing Joy to the World. Amen to that. Turning to Psalm 97, and last week we had the first of these three psalms, 96, 97, 98, all of which have the gospel in them and all of which do speak of the Lord reigning. And in fact, last week we had specifically in one verse, the Lord reigns. And here we begin this psalm with that statement, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. That is such a profound truth that we need to keep focused on, especially in light of a culture that is so wicked and so filled with deceit and corruption. And it's would think the world is crazy and going upside down and who knows where it's going to go. Remember, the Lord reigns. There's nothing happening here that he's not aware of. There's nothing happening here that's going to be out of his control. But we're suffering the results of sin. And when we look at the Bible, we see Israel was destroyed because of their idolatry, because of their immorality, and every nation that turns its back on God will be judged. And we may be all concerned about terrorists. We were really concerned about ISIS for a while. But, you know, maybe Obama was right when he would say they're junior varsity. We've murdered over 60 million babies in this country. ISIS has never had they're not even close to a million. Anyway, I'm not elevating them. I'm just saying, look at what we have done in this nation and how we are rewarding evil, how we are popularizing evil, how we are voting transgenders as man it or woman it, whatever it is of the year kinds of things. I mean, it's just crazy, isn't it? And now we got half of our government and maybe a part of the nation is just intent on bringing it down, just intent on destroying it. Very vocal about, we want God out, we want God out, we want God out, we don't want anything to do with God. So that's the world we're in, right? So we need to remember that our God reigns. The Lord reigns. And the exhortation here is, let the earth rejoice. Notice now in this psalm, over and over again, we're not talking about Israel only, we're talking about the whole world. So here it is, let the earth rejoice. Yeah, let Israel rejoice. But the psalmist is really addressing the Lord through the psalmist, through the Spirit, addressing the whole world. Let the world rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad. Now, that's specifically anti-Israel, because isles are the coastlands, the term given to people across the water from Israel. That would include us. It would include all of the islands relative to Israel. It really, and then it's also another word for Gentiles, because everybody was not in Israel and basically was a Gentile. So this is for all the Gentiles of the world. Let them be glad. Verse 2, clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So as he is reigning, remember, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And when he comes and establishes his throne here on earth, he will be ruling with righteousness and justice. They're the foundation of his throne. There are going to be clouds and darkness surrounding that time. There are going to be some tough times ahead in the Great Tribulation and all. But righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. The fire goes up before him and he burns up his enemies round about. And we know that's going to happen to a degree in the Great Tribulation, but it's really going to happen when we get to the Big Bang Theory, right? When we get to the world being destroyed and a new heaven and a new earth coming down. He'll burn up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world, not just Israel. His lightnings light the world. The earth, again, worldwide, the earth sees and is trembled. So there's no place where God is not seen. There's no place on the earth where people are not trembling regarding the Lord, if they would look at him or if they be aware of what's going on. And the mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. When this heaven and earth are going to pass away, the mountains will melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, the whole earth, there it is, the whole earth. Now we read, the heavens declare his righteousness, And all the peoples, I love that, all the peoples, again, very Gentile, all the peoples, Jew, Gentile, no difference, all the same, all the peoples see his glory. All the peoples see his glory. So I wouldn't worry about that little African here, or a little Fiji, Australian, or whoever it is who's never heard about Christ necessarily, because God's going to take care of him. I don't know how or what, but when we read all the peoples will see his glory, there's that opportunity. If they seek him, they will find him. But still, we're to get the word out too. You know, that's what he's using us for. But in spite of what we do or don't do, he's going to take care of all the peoples, I believe, see his glory. Verse 7, let all, there's all, that's everybody again, let all be put to shame who served carved images. So again, coming against idolatry, coming against idolatry. And as Christians, we can be so subtly sucked into idolatry. I mean, it's not too bad what we're doing, you know, we are wasting 2 hours a day on whatever it is, but I mean, it's not really too bad. And yet I look forward to my soapbox or soap operas? Maybe soapboxes, I don't know what they are. But anyway, got to see that, or whatever it is. That's a form of idolatry when you're looking forward to doing something other than worshiping the Lord. I mean, we even have, you know, we're busy on Sundays, so we have Saturday night service, and, you know, they're kind of designed for the busy person. So maybe 45 minutes, and then you're out of there, and you can have dinner, and you can go to a movie, and you can, you know, resume life. And so it's a big sacrifice you've made to worship the Lord for 45 minutes, but it didn't really change your schedule at all, really. And I'm not being critical of that, but that's kind of the way that this country is operating in the whole world. That's one of the problems we have in the mission field is finding time for the people to meet. They just can't get time off because everybody is working, right? Crazy. Got all these labor-saving devices, and people are working harder than they ever have, right? Doesn't make any sense, but that's what we're pursuing, those materialistic things, and the world is. So let all the images be put to shame who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. Again, worldwide. You, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Now, verse 10, I think, is the real key to this whole psalm. And the reason I say that, in one sentence, we have the specific instruction, the recipe, if you will, for surviving in a world filled with wickedness and a culture filled with wickedness. And the Bible tells us it's going to get worse in the days immediately preceding his coming, the days preceding the rapture, and I think we're getting close to that. So I don't expect the days to get better. I expect him to get more and more and more wicked. And you might say, oh no, I know what's going to happen. Well, here's the instruction. So you can pay attention to this, Phil, and everybody here. First, love the Lord. You who love the Lord. You know, Deuteronomy 6 starts out in the Old Testament. Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. One of the attorneys came to Jesus during his ministry and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, keep the commandments. And what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So that is what the instruction is here. You who love the Lord. So how much do you love the Lord? He's okay. I mean, he's good to me. Yeah, I love him. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything for him. I'm not going to get too excited about him. I'm not going to think about him all the time, but I'll think about him once in a while. That's not loving the Lord. Loving the Lord is putting him above everything. So how many things in your life are creeping up on being equal to or ahead of the Lord? That's idolatry. And you can't withstand wickedness of the world if you can't keep yourself pure. If you don't, let's go to the next term now. Love the Lord, number one, that's what you do. And the second thing you must do is hate evil. Most Christians don't like the word hate. I'm not supposed to hate anybody. Well, yes, but you're supposed to hate evil because that's what it says here. Hate evil. Hate evil. What's hate mean? It means hate. You can look at all the kinds of original language you got and it's still hate. Hate, abhor, detest. Not just that, well, I'm kind of concerned with the wickedness out there and it kind of bothers me, but it doesn't really affect my prayer life. It doesn't really cause me to do anything. You've got to love the Lord in order to hate evil. And if you really love the Lord, you will hate evil. Jesus demonstrated probably more love than anybody could ever, but he hated evil. He hated evil. He didn't give any room for evil. The test we have is, if I hate evil to the point of where my love for the Lord so far surpasses that which is around me, and I really hate it because I don't want it to hurt me for my relationship with the Lord. I don't want it to hurt others. You can think about how many lives you know right now who are absolutely trashed because of the evil that they're into. And yet we think, well, you know, let them do whatever they want to do. It's their life. No. So we need to pray. We need to pray. And if you look at your notes for just a moment, and then I'll get a couple more answers here, but then we'll get on with prayer. Look at your notes. I printed them in Oswald Chambers' intercessory prayer comments here. It doesn't fit all intercessory prayers, maybe as much as others. But for people whose redemption is at stake, this is an absolute perfect prayer, it seems like. It says, true intercession involves bringing the person or the circumstances that seem to be crashing in on you before God, until you are changed by his attitude toward that person or circumstances. Intercession means to fill up with what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. And this is precisely why there are so few intercessors. People describe intercession by saying it's putting yourself in someone else's shoes. He says this is not true. Intercession is putting yourself in God's place. It is having his mind and his perspective. And this one, I thought, rang a bell with me in a kind of a wake-up call. As an intercessor, be careful not to seek too much information from God regarding the situation you are praying about, because you may be overwhelmed. If you know too much, more than God has ordained for you to know, you can't pray. The circumstance of the people becomes so overpowering that you are no longer able to get to the underlying truth. Our work is to be in such close contact with God that we may have his mind about everything. But we tend to shirk that responsibility by substitute doing for interceding. Intercession is the only thing that has no drawbacks because it keeps our relationship completely open with God. What we must avoid in intercession is praying for someone to simply be patched up. We must pray that that person completely through into contact with the very life of God. Think of the number of people God has brought across our path only to see us drop them. When we pray on the basis of redemption, God creates something he can create in no other way than through intercessory prayer. We need to pray against evil. We need to pray against evil in people's lives, and we need to pray for them to have their eyes on the Lord and to come to the Lord and be in the right relationship with him. That's their only hope toward overcoming evil, would seem to me. Now, God gives us the results then of loving him and hating evil. In verse 10b, it says, he preserves the souls of his saints. Secondly, he delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. So if you're loving God, he'll preserve your soul, he'll deliver you out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, gladness for the upright in heart. And then finally, rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Remember that the name means the characteristics of God, of who He is and what He is as we remember His name. So the bottom line here then, after loving Him and hating evil, living in that way, it leads us to rejoicing in Him, and we can truly say the Lord reigns with joy, right? If we're really right with the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you how many applications are in every part of your word, and this psalm today filled with applications for us, certainly applications for me. And help us not just to say, well, that was a nice psalm, I kind of thought that was right, and just like we'd never even heard what He is telling us to do, to love Him. Do I love you? Do I love you above everything else? And Lord, do I hate evil? Do I hate it? Do I abhor it? Paul says in Romans 12:6, I believe, hate evil, abhor every form of unrighteousness. And so here we are, Lord. Help us now to pray as we have these moments to intercede for whatever you would put on our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Well, Lord, there's only two positions, with you or apart from you. And Father, nobody is too far away if they would just humble themselves and turn to you and recognize their need for you. So we pray for Bonnie. Specifically, we pray for all the Bonnies and all those who are not yours yet, walking dead, far away from you, so far from you. And yet in the twinkling of an eye, they can be yours. When they would accept you and they would see themselves as desperate sinners. Lord, we pray for that for Bonnie. And Lord, you know those things that are holding her back, and whether it's hanging on to the prideful things that we all want to hang on to or what, failing to humble ourselves or what, Lord, but we don't want to dissect or disseminate or anything else. The problem, we just say being lost is a big problem. And we pray that the solution to that problem, which we know is only you, would be forthcoming. She would turn to you today. Today would be the day of her salvation. Even now as we pray, she would say, I need you, Lord, as my Savior. Remember me. Remember me, even as the thief on the cross would cry out. And so, Lord, bless, draw Bonnie to you, Lord, now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I want to come against some of the cultural things and just evaluate my own hatred toward them. Am I just so compromised that they don't bother me anymore? I think of pornography, Lord, and its elevated position. I think of perversity. I think of abortion. I think of idolatry of all kinds. I think the hideousness in the Old Testament against the sin of bearing false witness against your neighbor. And we see so much lying at even all the way up and down our leadership, Lord. Father, I pray for the church, for the lack of holiness. I pray for the church for compromise with the world. I pray against those coming against creation and promoting the religion of evolution and just denying your existence and trying to deny you as the creator. Come against alcohol and against drugs, those uses, Lord, and just these things that are so ingrained in our society, and we don't like them, but do we just tolerate them, Lord? Are we really praying against them? Are we really speaking out against them when you give us opportunity? Or are we just silently going along with everything else, Lord? So help us to love you more than these, and our attitude of how much we hate these is an indication of how much we love you, I believe. Lord, we want to love you above all else, Lord. That is the issue. If we don't love you, it's easy to go around hating everybody. And Lord, the result of the hatred is not violence. The result of the hatred is prayer. And so, Lord, I just would think the more we can hate these, the more we would pray. And it's already been prayed for. The people You love them all. There's no person we shouldn't pray for their salvation, their souls. Not just clean them up, not just get them to stop swearing or stop smoking or whatever that is. That's not the issue. The issue is to get them to be yours, Lord, and to receive you as their Lord and Savior and to repent of their sins, Lord. And so help us as you put those people in our path, particularly during this celebration of this first coming of this Christmas season, and each day just to come against evil and to express and bear your love toward the world in the form of the gospel message. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. And Lord, I thank you that there is kind of a bubbling up and an overflow of prayer from pretty much everybody here. And Lord, I thank you that we need not stop praying, even though we will break up this particular meeting, that we will be continually in prayer as you tell us, pray always, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of you, or your will for us. And Lord, just want to close here, coming kind of back to you reigning again, Lord, and we can go on and on about the difficulties around us. But Lord, help us not to minimize who you are and the awesomeness of your reigning in our lives now and with the protection that you've given us. So help us as we just close in this song, Lord, our God reigns. Words are on the back page if you want them.
Lovely on the mountains are the feet who brings good news announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Grace and majesty. He is alive. Oh, yeah. He's alive. God loves us so. See here his hands, his feet, his side. Yes, we know. He is alive.
Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Father, you do reign. Thank you that you're reigning in our hearts and the hearts of every believer today, Lord, and we are praying for that day soon when you will reign throughout the world, when you will establish your kingdom here on earth. And we know it's coming. You will establish it in righteousness and justice and truth, and all wrong will be made right, and you will be exalted. So, Lord, help us this day to be close to you and to look for those opportunities that you give us to let the gospel come forth, Lord. Primarily by our lives, using words when necessary, but it's that life that we live as a living sacrifice we want to be known for, or really to be impacting others, and that needs to be holy and acceptable life. Help me, Lord, in that. And just each one of your children, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for meeting us here. Amen.